Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening.
What's going on? What's going on? Wednesday night, game 7.
We here. Oh, is it just us?
Nah, Joe.
Yo, what up?
Oh, Joe did got a good phone and everything.
Oh, ain't no
class. Do you see what I'm saying? The upgrade of life, bro. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, I understand, bro.
Oh, we have Michael.
No hushing or nothing, bro. The upgrade of game 7, baby. Yeah.
Hey, man, what was going on with your phone, by the way? I think everybody wants to know.
Bro, all I know is there's a difference. For real, between Apple and Android. That's all I'm going to say, bro. That's all I'm going to say. The difference is real. I don't know. But I know, like, y'all, you know, can hear me very clearly on this Apple microphone. Seems like everything is everything. So I don't know, Android. That's the point against you. I don't know.
How's everybody's week been?
Man, everything's been lovely.
I've been good.
How about
y'all
weekend?
You know, my weekend was good.
Oh, no free time.
Hey, I've been trying to, you know, when you got this kind of free time, you got to make every minute, every second count. So I'm probably about, as of today, I'm about 80% done with my house. I'm supposed to get it painted tomorrow, and I should be able to have it on the market before February 1st. So I'm excited about that.
Okay.
And
you found a realtor?
I'm thinking I've got a realtor. I've got a couple of realtors that I know. I'm thinking about being that I don't have a job, that I may try to start off on my own. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to go ahead and go with a realtor.
I just
been saying,
you may not want that headache.
Say it again.
I said, you may not want that headache.
Yeah.
You may want that professional do it.
You right. And then I'm going to take it personally, start talking about my house too tough. But hey, yeah, well, I'm going to go. I'm going to, Tank said he can't get in. So I'm going to, I am trying to call him as we speak.
Hello.
Yes, is Hollywood there?
Yes, this is Hollywood.
He gotta be called. He can't call him. No, I'm talking about.
Like, I mean, well, one thing about it, I attempted to call in multiple attempts. I tried and tried. I don't want to hear nothing about my phone service. My phone working just fine. I don't know what's going on.
What's wrong with you, Tank? How your week been?
My weekend was, you know, it was fantastic. Can't complain. I loved it.
You DJ this weekend?
Yeah, I did a dude named Dennis Connor, great man. He retired, did his retirement gala Saturday night. I also DJ
Coach Connor.
Quick Connors, as the old folks say. Quick.
Great, y'all say your brother-in-law, ain't he?
He's also my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Shout out to my balling ass sister and Quick Hunter. It's real nice. It's real nice. Sunday I was at Rounders for live music. Grown folks, if you're listening, Sundays, come down. Check us out. I can't wait till we go live, the group. That's later, but
okay, so come check us out. I have no financial benefit about Rounders. I actually have to pay to get in, even though my friend is DJing. I pay to get in. It is a great time if you're not doing anything on a Sunday evening. You can get home, get ready for work, and don't be tired the next day, as long as you don't take shots from Larry.
Right.
Yeah.
This is drinking. It's fun. It's a good time. It's a grown occasion. There's a lot of women. Let's come out.
What
have
time is
time.
It? That song?
Starts at 5. Okay. 5 to about 10, 10:30, we shut down. But we can go till 11, but, you know, Like Mickey said, a lot of people have to get up to go to work.
Yeah, I be tipping out the door at 9. I gotta go to work. And now that I'm older, not old, I like to be on time, and I don't want to be tired at work. And my hangover days at work are over.
Man, do I
miss those hangovers? We think what's going on in the news.
But actually, it's a lot of news. So first, you know, on a lot of news, we got Meg Thee Stallion. She's in the studio working with Pharrell. I don't know if you guys caught that clip. It's going to be fire. Meg has had an awesome year. I think she's going to continue that trend. She's not going to stop. She's not going to slow down. Also, we got Big and Whitney Houston going into the 2020 Hall of Fame. What do you guys think about that?
Who went Whitney Houston?
Big. Biggie and Whitney.
Oh, okay. That's what's up.
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's huge.
I didn't know about that Stallion Pharrell thing.
What'd you say?
I'm sorry, but those things, I mean, when people get into the Hall of Fame, it'd be like, again, the Charlie Brown teacher. Okay. I don't know. I just don't get hype about it. I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with me, but it didn't make a big difference to me. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, but you know, just for the, I like to see them to just make it in there by being rock and roll instead of just an R&B and a hip hop move and just, you know, keeping it going for the people, you know, coming up from years ago and know who they are.
I get it.
What are you saying? I don't understand. What are you saying? Your problem is with it, Mika?
It ain't no problem with it. It don't matter one way or another. I don't get hyped, I guess. It's like I read the story. It's like reading that a new Walmart opening. I just ride on bad school and be okay with it. Another day in Walmart. I don't know. I know it has significance and all the other stuff, but it don't have no significance to me. How about that? Let's say it like that.
That's what's up.
Hold on a second.
I saw where Boosie was accused. Somebody said they seen a video of Boosie beating up George Zimmerman.
I'm sorry, Ray. No, it was me. I was caught in the awkward situation. Now, also, shout out to the AKAs. Huh?
I said, did Zimmerman get beat up for real?
I don't know.
I haven't seen it confirmed that he got beat up, but they said Boosie did. Boosie got on there like Kiki Palmer. I don't know that man.
He has been having one hell of a week. Last week at this time, me and Tamika talked about it right while we was on the air. He was catching heat from the noobs, and now he's whooping George Zimmerman. He has had one hell of a week. Shout out to the AKAs on y'all J15 today, too.
What are you talking about, Boosie and George Zimmerman?
There's reports going out saying he beat him up in a Walmart.
In Florida. He literally went from a pretty boy nuke back to the basics.
In six days. Was it supposed to happen in Florida? He was at the Hawks game last night.
Right. So, I thought they said I have a Saturday. Boosie said he don't know the man. Boosie just trying to shimmy. He just trying to get his shimmy on.
Yeah, he's trying to get those shoulders right.
Boosie and George Zimmerman in the same, of all places, at Walmart.
A hell of a week, Jay. Jay, now that's what you call a hell of a week.
Right.
In Walmart, of all places, beat the man up in Walmart. But this, I still haven't seen whether the story was confirmed or not. If he got beat up.
Somebody whooped his ass. Right. I don't know if a lot of listeners been paying attention to what's been going on in Mississippi penile system. A lot of brothers been going through some stuff. It's been about 30 to 40 deaths, unconfirmed. The media is, of course, throwing that numbers off. Well, Yo Gotti and the boys at Jay-Z and Team Rock. have officially filed papers against the Mississippi Department of Correction. So we're going to see how this turned out. You know, they saying the prisoners rioting about the rat-infested cells and the poor food, the lack of, you know, meds, prison officials, you know, trying to brush it off as a GD, vice glorified situation. So,
and I just want people to stop thinking that people in prison don't deserve to have a decent place. I mean, you're already in prison.
Exactly.
You're already away from your family. You shouldn't have to live in, inhumane conditions just because you're
exactly.
in prison. Because that only makes prisoners worse. That only makes people worse.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're going to see how the story unfolds.
You would think they're getting more funding as far as that goes.
They get more funding.
Yeah, I said you would think that these prisons, they would have more funding, that they wouldn't be rat infested like the way that they are.
Oh, man, they don't care. That's what she's saying. They shouldn't be, but they don't care. They're going to pack them in.
Yeah.
So I was reading a story about 2 years ago, and I investigated, and it's true. And I don't know if they've changed it since then. So the warden has to change the choice about what's going to be done with funds. One warden had built him a beach house, his own family member, with $250,000. And did what he felt like doing with the rest, you know, with the rest of the money. So if it's at his discretion, it's just a bunch of checks. I mean, anytime you give somebody a whole bunch of money, it ought to be checks and balances. That's government, that's anything. That's a CEO of a company. You cannot put a checkbook in somebody's hand and don't give them a checks and balances.
Especially a person that's over supposedly prisoners, you know. These are bad people. So who's going to check the money that I get from these guys? Is it unfortunate?
Right. Who going?
I hate it.
Yeah.
That's an unfortunate truth.
But, you know, the disenfranchised always get taken advantage of. Always.
True. And on the sports, before we get to the topic, and then there were four. We're down to four teams in the NFL on the way to the Super Bowl. My good friend Jay's Houston Texans.
This ain't had to be talked about.
They were up, looking good Saturday, but they fell to Patrick Mahomes and the guys. Also, Aaron Rodgers got passed. Whatever.
Was it Minnesota?
Yeah, I was so sick when Lamar lost that I got all discombobulated, brother.
Yeah, I was sick with you.
Shout out to my boy Derrick Henry representing that tie. He's going up against Patrick Mahomes this weekend, and the Niners got Green Bay. What do you guys think? I mean, I know we just want you to have a Rotel in 3 weeks. Parties and stuff. We already know you don't care who winning, but just we want you to care about the party that you have.
Kansas City Super Bowl.
I think so.
Yeah, I think 49ers with their defense is going to, you know, shrink up what Aaron Rodgers do, shrink the field up, and they play a crazy, crazy style of defense. So I would take the 49ers out of the NFC. And Patrick Mahomes and their offense and what they was able to do versus, I don't know if it was just the Houston Texans defense that was just phenomenal. They wasn't, did they get caught off guard? Or, you know,
I really wanted
shock of, I don't know what it was, but Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are able to score points like nothing I've seen in the NFL since probably the Rams, maybe. Like, they, when they get hot, it is crazy.
They get hot.
I would say the 49ers, yeah, they get hot. They get hot, hot. Kansas City versus 49ers Super Bowl, that's my pick. And I would right now hedge and say Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid get their first Super Bowl victory, 30-27. You heard it there first.
Oh, that's a nice pick. I just want Bill O'Brien to lose his job expeditiously, in the words of T.I. My man Jay was so he was so exuberant and full of joy when I called him at the end of the first quarter. I was like, Jay, man, y'all on the way? Y'all in? Yeah, Yearn, I know.
You full of shit. That is not what happened. That is not what happened.
Hey, this is my version.
You know,
it happened something similar to that.
There's several versions in Tank World.
Right. I like that. I'm talking like the Marvel universe.
Truth,
I live like in three. I live in two. I live in like three universes.
Entertaining world. Yeah, it's gotta be entertaining.
Right. But in all worlds, there's one thing that ties them all together. Right, we did have the conversation thing with Jay. Not verbatim, I can't. Hey, word for word, maybe I'm gonna know.
No. What we said was, I said, I don't know, Yearn. You said if they lose this game up 24, you remember that part right there? I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's still early.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went up early, bro.
I just can't believe they blew it.
Man, why are we talking so much about my team and not talking about the Ravens?
The Ravens was just a hard gut. I can't believe. Shouts to Derrick Henry. That's all. I have to say that again. Joe, could you believe that? I could not believe it. Shout out to LSU that did the thing.
Yes.
Congratulations to the Tigers. We'll get back at it next
week. I like college ball because I attended UA, you know, a couple of years. So I went to games and, you know, I've actually went to the school. So I'm an Alabama fan. I actually like football. I don't get this chin for the division. I give a damn about the SEC as a whole. If my team ain't in there, I don't care nothing about Well, the SEC was in there. We still ain't win. We still was at home. SEC didn't win yet. LSU won, but whatever. Congrats. I'm still talking. It is what it is.
Well, I didn't, and I get what you're saying. I didn't cheer for LSU because they were the SEC team. That was just, low blow.
I just remember back in Kennedy's days, you might catch Tank in a LSU fit.
Hold on, Jay. How many times did I have the LSU hat on and it matched what I had on?
Hey, Joe, Tank went old school. He had some nasty purple kicks out and thought it'd be okay to wear an LSU hat because he had the season hat. he was not 14 years old, sir.
Oh, shit.
Grow up. Grow your ass up, buddy.
You are not 14
hey,
years
man.
Old, sir.
Joe, he rolled me out by that. He was hot about that. I'm talking about dead ass.
Damn, bro.
But anyway, like I said, you know, they got the job. I wasn't just cheering for them. They just was a better team. I don't like Clemson.
I don't like neither. You know, I don't like neither, but I think we, you know, we have to be honest and look at the debate that was happening, because one of the conversations after the game was, did we just witness the greatest season by any college football team?
I'm going to say one of top three easily.
It has to be top three, type. Like, we have,
if not
like,
number
we have
one,
to
top
put
three.
That up there, top three. As all around, from coaching all the way down, the awards that was won, the season,
Joe,
the teams that they beat.
Joe,
did we witness
Joe,
the greatest season ever?
Joe,
yeah.
The stat that stood out to me when I told my – I love Bama like the rest, all of us like the Tide. But some of our fans are just unrealistic. I had to tell them.
Mm.
When was the last time we beat – the last seven people we played was ranked in the top 10 when we played and beat them? By average of 20
right,
points.
What we're not going to do is, Alabama went to the playoffs. We got a circle to do.
Thank you. Get us back together.
None of that mess y'all talking about.
Let's talk about these cheers.
Ready to
help y'all hear this. Get us back together.
So,
yeah,
tonight's episode.
I was about to go into a whole Joe Burrow spiel. Like, I had a whole speech about Joe Burrow. So thank you
for pulling me back. I felt in hell. So tonight's topic is pushing children out of the nest. 18 and grown. Is 18 really considered grown? And it goes a little bit deeper. We want to discuss, what do you think as far as your age requirement, or is there an age requirement, and why do we have that stigma of being 18 and grown? So I know, I hope people call in, because we did have some people. We had a poll today. We didn't have a lot. We had more people commenting and sharing it, and a lot of people didn't vote, I guess because it was kind of the ages. I was glad to see that more people think that kids need to be taught and given a little time before they get out on their own. I didn't see one person say, when they ask, get 18, they got to get out of my house. That made me proud. I know the mentality is out there, but I didn't see it today. What are your thoughts, Hank?
I think along the lines of what you said, being a person who moved back to the house at will, you know, hopefully nothing will happen, but if I could, I'm pretty sure they'd let me come now. But I think with our generation and the generation of people that's out now, it's time to see that. And it is, it's coming back around just a little bit to family. Like you say, it wasn't really one that many people opposing it, because they know. A lot of us been out there, 18, 19, 20, living in Landmark. It was fun, but it was hard. You know, you don't want, you know, that if you moved out the house at 18 and you just really didn't have it in our city, it was rough. It was just a rough time. You can make, you know, all of us made it, but at the same time, whew. So you wouldn't want to, yeah, you know, I wouldn't want to just throw them out there like that. Not that they don't have to, you know, when you're ready, when you want to go. You know, that's how I pretty much left, when I wanted to. And, you know, some people get the taste of it, and they take off, other people, you know. But I don't think there's nothing wrong with it.
And I was thinking last night, the age 18, the only thing you can do at 18 now is vote.
And sign up for Select Service.
Yeah, and sign up for the military, because now you have to be 21 to smoke, you got to be 21 to drink, you got to be 19 to sign a contract, so you can't apply for a credit card, a loan, you can't even get a checking account in the state of Alabama at 18 without your mama being on your account. So
right.
In my opinion, 18 is most death is not grown. 18 is a milestone,
right?
But it ain't grown.
You probably wrong.
You can't
right?
even
they
get a checking account on your own. You should not be staying on your own.
Right.
Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that it probably, that stigma started back when families had children going into the military. You know, which had to be 17, 18 to go into the service. And I think it was almost a thing, like, if you're old enough to go into the service, then you're old enough to get out of my house. I feel like and this is just my wild thoughts, that I think that might have played a part into people setting that number at 18 of, like, hey, this is your time, you're supposed to be at the house. If you can go into the military, you can be at the house.
I think 18 was just because that's the age they usually, when they graduate. It's like when you get out of high school, you got to do something. You got to get out of my house. You got to go to the military. You got to go out to school. But you got to get out of my house.
And
my, Jay, not to cut you off, bro, but my note said the same exact thing you said, bro. To me, I was wondering what it was. You know what I mean? Because you see the shift and like a change that's headed more to family, and you see more blended families and more people staying at home longer. And I was wondering, what was back then that made 18 that hard number? And I leaned to the military too. I felt like a lot of people over generations had that mindset of, you out of school is either go to the military or whatever, but get out. Like, you're grown and it's time to go out to the world. Because if you could go to war, then you can go get a job and you can go do this and you can go do that. You can go fend for yourself. I had to fend for myself, you know what I mean? This grandfather and grandmama talking, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't finish school. I had to work and do this and do that. Then it's time for you to go out there and go be a man and be a woman and go out and do that. And I think that mindset has changed over time, but I think it has something to do with it.
And I think even talking about back then, but even more important now, that it is so expensive out here in this world that we live in now. Like, it is so much more expensive just to survive. School's more expensive. I mean, if y'all remember back in our days, you could ride 2 or 3 years. You could ride pretty much your whole life without car insurance if you could avoid a car accident. Like, you know, I mean, you really can't survive without a phone now. I mean, there's a lot of expenses that just go into this world that we live in now that weren't out there back in the day. So I think it's even more reason to be financial-wise to still be at home longer than back in the day.
Right. We only had 3 pair of Jordans a year.
Right.
$100 a piece. $300 had you covered for the whole fucking 12 months.
And rent.
Rent used to be what $3.95, and you busting at that. But now, don't get us wrong, it still was hard. Because, like, what I like about Game 7 is all our shows are different, but they all kind of talk to each other. We learned our listeners about credit and about preparing. We wasn't prepared. We know Tamika will cook some chicken for us. We'll kick it. But when that first rolled around, bills, nobody told us. And bills as hell. Even a $400 rent, we did. That wasn't easy to come up with, not $400. Now, it was a lot of twerking going around for the girls. And it was a whole lot of matchbox going on for the guys.
And the only way
that $40 shit, that $40 shit ain't new now. That $40 shit is not new. Just one problem.
The only way I moved out my mama house at 20 was subsidized living, running brook apartments, $20 a month. Because ain't no way in hell I could have moved out my mama house with no funny check.
Right, right.
If I had to pay regular rent, I'd have had to listen to that. And the only reason I left home, my mama didn't necessarily push me out, but she was always hollering, when you grow on your own, when you grow on your own, when you grow on your own. You know how tired you get of hearing that?
Right. And that's what I was, that was one of my points I was going to make in our discussion tonight. I would welcome my kids back. You grown, but the word, I'm not going to fuss, but it's going to be encouragement of you're going to get tired of me getting your ass to get to some money. That's going to be a daily conversation. You don't work, you don't eat, you don't grind, you don't shine. That's every day.
That should be something you instill in them, though. Like,
right.
I agree. Like, you have to instill that, regardless if they're in the house or not.
But it's a fine line with spoiled people, that too, now, you know. You can distill it, but, you know. You know, it's
you
hard
have to enforce it. You can instill it, but you have to enforce it. My daughter, she'll be 24 next month. And she left home, and she came back. I got a grandson now. My thought to her was, oh, I'm saving up money for an apartment. My question was, why? Apartments are high. You ain't really making no money. You know, you're still trying to figure out what you want to be when you grow up because you don't want to go to school path. So while you're figuring it out, stay here. At first, I didn't say anything about contributing because she wasn't really making no money, but she made enough money to buy weed every time she got paid. Let me get some of that weed money. Then what we gonna do? let me give you a couple of these utility bills so I can teach you some responsibility. But with that, the plan is now is that she leaves when she's financially rich. Not leaving because she got on my nerves. Not leaving because we want company. She needs to be financially ready. So I'm that mom that if I see a collection notice, I ain't going to open your mail, but I know what a collection notice looks like. I've seen plenty of them. Open it up so I can see what it is. We need to take care of it. You need to send them $20. You need to do something. Because the thing is to make sure she's credit ready, making sure she's saving some money, and making sure that when she leaves here, she walks off into a house that she bought, not one she got a rent. Because I want her to have a better start than I did. Because it's amazing with the world, with the career that I have, seeing people write their child a $10,000 check to help them with a down payment on their house.
Right.
And it ain't no throw it up in your face. They proud. They happy to be able to do that. It ain't no, oh, hell, they get on my nerves. It's, oh, I'm able to do this for my child. And I always wanted to be that parent to be able to do that for my child, but for them to appreciate it. Right. So they got to do the hard part. They got to get approved. They got to do the work to get that.
Right. That's the thing. They got to, just like with most people, that's why I don't think it's really an age limit. You got to do the hard part. And it's not for everybody. Not in a bad way, just some people are drawn to each other. Because, you know, it definitely ruled me when I first moved out. I don't know about you guys, but that first night in my apartment, that's all it took. I don't ever want to go home unless I have to. And if I have to, when I get there, my whole mission is going to be to relieve. It's home. It's my family home. We own that property. That's the urban. So it's going to always be somebody going to be in there. That's what we
I think my first – this ain't what the topic's about, but I think my first night out of my parents' house, I think I almost smoked my whole face off.
Right.
I can't feel my face.
The freedom of your own house is nothing like that. See, when you and Joe first moved out, I didn't know y'all. I knew Tamika when she first moved out, even the joy on her face. Because it's, we love our parents, but the freedom of what? It's 3 a.m. We frying fish, bologna if you want to, music on. Whole house
in there. That's right.
In there making loaded potato soup.
Right. Well, you know.
Hey, to kind of jump back to what we were kind of talking about as far as kids being pushed out of the house. And I think one thing that I don't think enough of is done is that kids aren't properly trained on how to pay bills other than, you know, a cell phone bill or something like that. But I think you need to be at the house long enough. I don't know a lot of people doing it when they're in high school, but you need to pay a bill in the house for a while to get experience of that, not that that consistent week, month-to-month bill that's going to always be on you. And a lot of kids go
right.
And they don't know how to budget. They don't know that water bill, that power bill, that cable bill. Like, that's going to eat up your whole check because you're not making no money working at fast food or pretty much any of those jobs starting off.
And, Jay, that's a very, very important – skill that you have to learn before you, you know, jump into that world is like, you know, money management and being able to understand what money you need to pull out for certain bills, what, you know, that bill, what time it comes or whatever. And man, one thing, and I'm going to get into it when I get into the top five, but you know, just being able to be responsible in your own responsibilities, like, you know, kids getting into adulthood, being able to pick up the phone and, you know, make your own doctor's appointment. Stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that you got to build that up. And I think it takes time, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
but
you got 100 things on your mind at 18.
To figure back with
you. And I'm teaching her the same lesson. Trust me, I done woke up. I came back from a trip, took a shower, laid down and took a nap, woke up to wash my hands, and didn't have no water. Because guess who didn't pay the water bill? My daughter. When I asked her about the water, she jumped up with her eyes open. I said, you know, I'm going to get the water cut back on, and you got to pay me back, and I want every dime. I go look at my phone one day. I'm trying to figure out why Alabama Power at my house. My power would get cut off. I call her to pay the power bill. She starts stuttering. What she don't realize is that I'm going to always have her back. But I got to make her feel bad. Got to. Because if she was living on her own, how she going to get the damn power cut back on if she had a money?
Uh-huh.
I get the power cut back on before the power company even leave the neighborhood because I see the man on the camera. I see him cut my lights off. So I get the power cut back on. She called me crying because she had no idea how the power was going to get cut back on. I said, oh, well, I guess you better figure it out. So I called her back. I said, don't worry about it. I said, I got it back on, but you owe me. And we set up an installment plan. So she still got to pay her bills plus pay me back. My aunt told me I would low down. I said, I had to go through these lessons on my own, and I had to figure it out. And I ain't had nobody to ask. I ain't had nobody to have my back. I had to figure it out on my own. I said, she has a safety net. She gets to go home to power. She ain't got to sleep in no dark. But she can't go without paying her responsibility because evidently she messed up her money if she ain't paid her bill the month before.
And that's one thing I just wrote down.
Yeah, like that's something I, as you were talking, that's what I was saying. We have become, as parents, you know what I mean, something that our parents and their parents probably didn't have was these huge safety nets for them. So now we are safety nets for our children. And it's how you maneuver those lessons that make your kids successful as they grow up as an adult. Like, do you just pay the bill and then just let them, like, not feel the wrath of what they would have been like if they was all they own, but being able to pay installments and, you know, and feeling that, you know, that's a lesson that she will keep feeling over time.
In her situation, if it was my kid's apartment, I would let the lights get cut off and let them feel the burn. But I'm not. I don't need to learn the lesson to sit in the dark, so I'm gonna have to set them up with this office. You know, you're not gonna go. I'm not gonna see what lesson do I need to learn about the power being cut off.
And then my little groceries high. Let my little fucking groceries
right.
Look away.
This is not a learning situation for me. So I do feel you, just so if you at your house, I'm gonna let them get. I'm gonna cut them on. I got your back, but I'm gonna let them get it cut off.
But
I one thing I must instill, to make it tell you, we were from Sonic Nation. But listen, what I'm telling y'all. Nah, we weren't poor, grew up shabby, or nothing like that. But that's not what I'm saying. When we decided to move out, I had a safety net if I ever needed it. But it was a long way before I reached to it. And we had to literally get it out of the mud. It's a reason when people say that for real. If you had to do it, you understand. That's what I want for my kids. You've got to go to work. Nigga, we got to go to Sonic. We got to. That's it. Because I don't want to go home because I like the apartment. I like kicking it. I like gas. I like going to Montgomery when I want to. You know, we might, like somebody said, she'll cook potato soup and damn it. Oh, it ain't but 12:30. Let's shoot to the Rose real quick. I'm not leaving my mama's house at 12:45 at night going to Montgomery to a club. I am from where my mail come from. That's what I'm saying. It's not an age, but it'll grow you up quick. Moving out grows you up quick too. Now, even if it breaks you, it's gonna grow you up quick.
Yeah, it's gonna grow you up quick. But I guess what my challenge and my concern is, are you learning like the ramifications of your actions? Of like, you do understand every time that. You know, when you're 18 years old, you're not thinking about, like, okay, my power got turned off and I got to turn back on, and that happens sometimes. It's like, that is affecting your credit to what you said earlier, Tank, is, you know, I feel like some of these things we're talking about goes back to some episodes we've had before, like, credit matters. Like, you don't think about that when you think about that. You're thinking, like, I'll just pay the bill when I pay the bill. It's like, no, you are affecting your financial resume.
Right. But like Joe said, right? Hey man, I went to Buffalo Field as a 18-19 year old with South Trust Bank. That was the first time me losing a bank account because I couldn't pay $80 for these order wings that I got the check bouncing around for that I didn't realize. That was about lesson. You're gonna learn some of the shit they got to learn to go through. It's gonna build. So there are no some of you got to. You got to take the brunt. It's hard, but you're not gonna be able to
protect them from everything. Cause I talked to both of my children till I'm blue in the face about, you know, having kids early, living your life, making sure you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you know, and that was my biggest thing. It wasn't the fact that my daughter was pregnant; it was just she hadn't did anything. That was just a disappointment. You know what I'm saying? She ain't leave. Mm-hmm. She ain't. Accomplish anything. You just want better for your kids, but at the same time, they got to make that decision. Now, I can do all this instilling, all this teaching, all this making sure her credit is good. She can still move out here and tear that mug all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
You give them all the tools they want, but I know it makes me feel better knowing that she got it.
Right.
I told them it wasn't one of those. She can't go out here and tell nobody what my mom ain't said. That's a lie.
So what about 45 years old living with your parents? That's not sick.
I, you know what? I think whatever folks want to do, I think that's what they do. You know what I'm saying? I think we gotta get out of what it looks like. I just think it's right.
But because if you're 45 years old,
now do I want to date a 45-year-old man that stay at home with his mama? No. I don't.
Right.
But somebody did.
I can answer you. I can speak on
personal
that.
Choice.
I was just going to say, if a person has lived at home 4 to 5 years and their parents are not sick, well, the back of what you just said, we don't know what's going on. Clearly, ain't nobody tired because they still there. You know, you ain't worked nobody. You ain't worked their nerves, and they ain't worked yours. Cause that's a long time.
Hey, y'all! Before we move on, I think we got a caller. I'm gonna see if they wanna come in.
Welcome, caller. Welcome, welcome.
Last three numbers 126.
Yeah, this is Justin, man. What's going on, y'all?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Enjoying the conversation. I don't really have a comment. I will ask a question, though. So, I think what I hear from all of you guys is, it seems like there's a consensus that at 18, most of us ain't ready to get out and be on our own. There are a few people that are able to do it, some exceptional people. But my question is, what would be, as parents, what would be the criteria or what would be the benchmarks that will let you know that your child is ready to be out on their own? Like, what are those things that you can say for yourself and that you can point to that you can communicate with your child? To say, all right, well, you don't know how to do this yet, or you do know how to do this and this and this.
Right.
Like, what are those things?
I would say number one benchmark would be responsibilities, and that's broken down in two ways, financial and how they're doing around the house. If you're not getting on them about, cleaning up, not only them, but not only after themselves, but helping with cleaning you up, helping with getting the house together, helping with mowing the lawn, helping with, don't have to, has their own job, helping with bills. That's going to show you financial responsibility. Like, their phone bill is always paid on time. That's showing you, okay, it's going to still be bumped, but it'll be easier. I think that's the time, it's going to hurt you to let them go, but you know that they're ready, at least responsibility-wise, number one. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, my almost like what Tanky is, to be making a living wage. I don't think you can... you can get housing and things like that making $8, $9 an hour, but,
right.
I mean, how are you going to live comfortably and pay daycare and do those things? So, to me, it would be, a living wage. And like Tank said, just showing some responsibility. Now, everybody don't have housekeeping skills, so I ain't going to hold that against nobody. You may want to get rid of them because of it, but, but a living wage and taking care of the things that you have entrusted them to take care of and keeping things up and a savings, because if they're, I take the bulk of the responsibility. So if you're paying these minute things, then your responsibility should be to save money. You know what I'm saying? And then I most definitely
right.
don't want you to be in here wrecking your credit, because there shouldn't be a reason you're wrecking your credit. We're supposed to be building. And again, I know I get a little deep in my kids' business because I'm looking at the mail like they look like a collection of notice. Let me see what this is. But, that's how my mom kept me out of trouble. My mama opened my mail, though. Because you got mail, and it be open. You need to call them, folks.
Man, listen. Man,
that's
listen.
Real.
Let me get the mail at my mama house that's thick. She going to open anything thick. Hey, you got something out here? I ain't even know what said your name. Oh, okay. Demetrius Brenda. Okay. All right.
Hey, Justin, to add on to what Tank and what Mika said, I would say signs of independence. You don't want to have a child going out and leeching and depending on their friends and all of those things. So I think independence, I think work ethic and the financial responsibility, like what Tank said, but you want to have someone who you think can live on their own and is not going to have to depend on a boyfriend or a girlfriend for that matter, or a friend to be able to survive.
I think, that drive, you look for that drive. Like, we can go out there and find them a job through a friend that know a friend. And
sure.
But do they jump up on their own and have that willingness to go? Do they,
right.
their time management, do they make that drive and that responsibility to get out there and go get it themselves. Once you lay the groundwork for them, can you know, do you see that spark? And you know, all of us have a spark to go out and do what we want to do, but do you see that spark in them to get up and go? Even at times when they don't want to go. But they make it their business to, you know, they get up and go.
Because if you instead that spark in them, they're your kids after all. So you're going to see, you're going to know. Oh, yeah, they ready. They are like,
for sure.
Might be away at college doing this. Hey, I'm doing this. Dad, mom, check this out. I'm doing this. Okay. Leadership is it. You know, 4th of July, you're trying to get them to go out of town with you. They going to Cabo for the 4th. Yeah, they ready for their own house, crib, whatever.
Yeah.
So just let me spin it around. Let me spin around. What is your thoughts on the topic? Where do you sit on the fence of age for a child to move out?
I think it depends on these things that we're talking about, factors as far as responsibility, financially, just around the house. I think like Joe said, get up and go. I think there needs to be a plan. If I can see you have a plan and at least follow the plan to some degree of accuracy, then, and I know that I don't have to sit there and babysit you or micromanage you or ask you what your plan is. Because if I've seen that, you know, throughout your, whether it was high school or through with a job or whatever jobs that you have, you know, from the time that you turn working age, that you have a plan and that you execute it. I think that's, for me, that's more important than anything. Money, because I mean, you can learn money, but I think for the most part, another aspect of it is as
what do you mean when you say you can learn money?
I think there's okay. So in our community, most of us go to public school. They don't teach money in public school. They don't talk about it. You might have an accounting class, but they don't teach it. They don't talk about it. They don't show you what's important. As important as money is, we don't hear about it in school. That's a problem. So if we look at the history of our community, most of us are learning money on trial and error type stuff. And so we learn it. Our parents have learned trial and error, most of them. You have some people who are, you know, in that have financial or economic background jobs that they have to learn their stuff and have to learn their craft. But for the most part, most of us learn by trial and error. Now,
I think,
and so once you get to a point where you have a plan and you know that money is a part of that plan, you can go out here and you can learn it from whoever if you got a drive to you know, kind of get up and go and say, all right, I don't know this. I need to ask some questions. And, you know, like right now, I didn't, like my mom and dad told me, don't do nothing to mess up your credit, but they didn't tell me how.
They told me to
save money, but they didn't tell me how. They told me to make sure I don't spend all my money, but they didn't tell me how to do it. They didn't show me how to do it. And so I end up learning just like they did by trial and error.
And that's why I agree with you 1,000%. I say that time and time again. I knew my mom had credit cards, and she told me about them, but she didn't tell me not once to abuse them. All I see is a limit. And, now I can go to work.
Or how to fix your credit.
But I think that's what Tanika is saying.
I don't understand why my credit score went down because you're up to the limit on your credit card. You got to keep it within 30%. They didn't tell me that when they gave it to me. They're not going to tell you that when they give it to you. It's not their responsibility to teach you how to use the credit card.
So that's my thing. I think for the most part, like, we have to, as parents, like, all of us have gotten to, you know, a parent stage, I guess all of us have, but we have to admit that we don't know, we're ignorant when it comes to certain things.
Oh,
and
man, yeah.
And once we get to that place, then we can begin to ask the questions that we need to ask and then turn around and give the curriculum of the things that we don't learn in school to our kids at home and put more of a focus on it. Like my son, my oldest son just turned 13. I got him a watch and a wallet because time and money is what we're going to be talking about this year. And it's more of a, we've talked about it in the past, and I got him a little bank account, but he don't pay no attention to it. I just tell him what to put in or tell him what I did put in it. That go in one and out the other. But this year we're doing, you know, we go to the bank together. We get statements and we look at them together. Every time he gets some money, I take half of it, I put it in the bank. I tell him you got 25%. To do whatever you want to, the other 25% you're going to do A, B, and C. And so I'm teaching him, you know, step by step stuff that I didn't learn. I just got money and I spent it.
That's gonna
and
be
so
the
by the time he gets 18, maybe he will be ready financially. Hopefully he'll be ready from a maturity standpoint and a responsibility standpoint. And so, you know, I got work to do in that area too. But it's so much stuff that I knew I didn't know by the time I got out of my folks' house. And they just didn't know enough to teach me.
It's scary. You know, it's scary when we're talking about the 18-year-olds. And, hey, Dustin, we got to get ready to move into Joe's top five. And I'm just going to say this, and we're going to move into that. So if you want to stick around, we'll bring you back in when we kind of move after Joe does his top five. But we definitely appreciate you calling in again, and if you stick around, we'll try to bring you back in. But you know, one thing that I always feel bad about whenever I might end up hitting a corner store, and you see people in there cashing their check, that lets you know somebody who was not raised with financial and intelligence for all of those who are going out there and just cashing their checks at these gas stations or Walmart or places like that. But not to harp on that, Joe, you want to hit us with your top five?
Of course,
Joe,
man.
Yeah?
You over there splacking again, Mike Hammer?
Not this time, my brother.
Mike
Hammer.
Joe Steele, you back over there doing that shit again? Dang.
I'm not giving her my top 6.5 today. But as we get into this top five, I really struggled this time with trying to figure out what way to go. So, you know, looking at the topic, I settled in on a top five of lessons that I felt like our young adults, 17, 18, 19, before you move into adulthood, what are some of the lessons and some of those proverbs that we gained over our time that we can instill on our, you know, on our parents listening that can might have some youngins coming up right now that they can drop some jewels on. So I'm going to just, you know, drop 5 life lessons that you need to know before you get into adulthood. So let's jump into that. You feel me? Number 5, successful people will do things that unsuccessful people will not do. It's one of those lessons that, you know, you pick up over time when you look at what makes a person, you know, a successful individual, whether it's businessman, whether it's, you know, at work, wherever it is, what makes an individual successful and others not so successful? And then sometimes it boils down to that person is just willing to go out there and do some of the things that, you know, others are not willing to do, putting that extra work in, coming in early, leaving late, some of those things. So, you know, I think, you know, our young adults need to understand before you get out there in the world, you're going to have to sometimes go harder than the next man to get to what you got to get to. So, number 4, what you focus on is what you attract. Teaching our young adults, like, you know, to maneuver through this environment, to focus on positivity, to focus on, you know, growth, to focus on just positive energy, where most of the time attract that crowd. If you you know, like, you know, some of the wise men say, if you hang around seven broke people, guess who's going to become number eight? So you have to just, you know, surround yourself with an energy that's going to push you to be great. So as you get ready to jump out and leave the house, you know, if you have all these negative individuals in your crib or around you, you know, it's going to be that type of thing that's going to absorb you. And sometimes not even trying to, you become what you attract, or, you know what I mean, you become what you surround yourself with. So I want, you know, the young adults that's listening, the parents out there, to drop that jewel on them. What you focus on is what you attract. Number three, don't compare yourself to anyone else. Be you. You know what I mean? Like, you get pigeon-toed sometimes with and held to a standard by social media and, you know, friends or whatnot and people around you of what you're supposed to be doing at this time and how your life should be. And you feel like you a failure because the next man got a promotion and you didn't, or the next person got the new car and you didn't. Focus on you. You're going to get there with, you know what I mean, some sheer will and drive and determination. But you can fall into, like, life pitfalls, as my mother used to say, keeping up with the Joneses or trying to keep up with the Joneses or whatnot. Focus on you. Focus on being Harold. Don't worry about the Joneses. Just focus on being a great Harold, and you'll be fine. Number two, if you want to be an adult, then act like an adult and tackle adult responsibilities. I think that was the theme throughout our conversation with Mr. Destin, who called in, is responsibilities, and we all are real huge on making sure our kids understand responsibilities and being able to tackle those before we try to get them out. Being able to put a list of responsibilities on the on one of those young adults and seeing them go out there and handle that up under our nose is kind of give us that indication that, okay, he or she may be ready. So if you want to be an adult, carry yourself like one, act like one, and then, you know, you are what you are at that point. So my number one thing that I would tell young adults or whatnot is that growth doesn't stop when you become grown. It just don't. Like, do not get into this hold up of I am what I am at 21 or 20 or whatnot, and I don't have no room to grow. I'm grown. Can't nobody tell me nothing. Some of our, I mean, I not to put our ages out there, but I'm sure we still to this day are learning different valuable lessons at the ages that we are. So, you know what I mean, one of the biggest mistakes you can make as an adult is feeling like, as the person that I am today is going to be the person I'm going to be tomorrow. So you have to learn to roll with the punches, pick up those valuable gems that you're going to learn as an adult, and just go from there. But don't get to making the mistake that you cannot continue to learn. We all make mistakes, but don't let those mistakes make you who you are. Grow from them, and you will become successful over time, without question. To all the young listeners out there, you know what I mean, these are just some of the jewels that I feel. If you harp on some of these and instill these within yourself, that transition into adulthood is going to be hard, but it becomes a little easier when you know some of these things. So that's Joe's top five, and, you know, salute.
Appreciate it, Joe.
This thing ain't old, baby.
you're gonna have your kids that go to college and like being away from home and that struggle and adopted and call it mom in the middle of the night, mom and dad in the middle of the night for stuff, and they decided they got their freedom and had that freedom for 4 years that you got their degree. They ain't coming to head back home. They had their freedom.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have your kids that's just so hard-headed, ain't going to want to do right, and you're going to have to let them go. There's always so many different versions. It's not a cookie-cutter idea.
It is.
You know, I don't ever want people to think that, you know, it's a one-trick pony. It's different ways to do the same thing.
This is true.
And I don't know who, and I don't know who's listening now, but you're number five. Successful people will do things that unsuccessful people would not do. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves on Facebook, when I, you know, see people talking about the face I made when my boss asked me to stay a few minutes behind or coming in earlier. Like you're not winning anything by doing these things. Like if you want to transition, if you want, you've got to do those things that nobody else would do. Like if you want to, I'm sure y'all probably heard that saying of dress for the job that you want. Like if you're not willing to play that role of being able to step up and do all of those things, you'll never reach higher levels.
You're not.
Well,
and like you're saying,
never.
And you're going to be stuck at where you at. Like based off that, like if you're happy with that C minus performance, then don't bitch and complain when the next person, you know what I mean, who's constantly coming in doing those things that you're not willing to do, get the promotion. I can't stand hearing about how such and such got a promotion before me. And I'm like, well, what was you doing to put yourself in position to do that? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but I see it all the time too, Jay, and I can't, man, I cringe every time I see it. I cringe literally every time I see my manager want me to stay over. Who the fuck you think you talking to? You.
Right.
You feel me? Miss or Mr., I want a promotion. Miss or Mr., I'm not making enough. Miss or Mr., how did, you know, such and such who just got here get a promotion before me? That's how you have to
exactly.
put the work in. And if you're not willing to, then guess what? You stay back here with me. You get what I'm
right.
saying? You're going to sit back and watch them grow while you sit there and get on Facebook and make fun of that somebody.
Listen, nobody's promoting a slacker. Nobody's supporting the underachiever. You got to go above and beyond for that.
You got to go above and beyond.
You got to show people that that's what you want and that's what you're willing to do, and you got to be dependable. Can't keep. Now, I'm not saying go to work with the flu, but every time your baby toe hurts, you can't call in.
No, no.
Right.
And it goes back to even what we said earlier when we were talking about rounders, and you can't go out and expect, you can't go out and go hard and just thinking just because you can make it to work that everything's all good. People are noticing just because somebody's not saying anything doesn't mean that things aren't being noticed.
Right.
Like, people see them big-ass bags under your eyes.
Right. And then, you know, I work with the public, and I got a staff. I don't want people looking at me crazy like, what's wrong with her? I got to be on point.
Right.
I got to remember interest rates and make decisions. And, yeah, I don't. I'd rather not go to work. I'd rather call in for that. I'd rather not go. Because I just don't want to be in that state of mind.
When I had went to a conference at Vanderbilt, and one of the things that the professor said was that if you can't perform at 80% when you go to work, especially specifically in leadership, if you can't at least give your team 80% of yourself, do not show up.
Right. Because, you know, when questions are to be asked or something is not known, I'm the person. You know, it was leadership. They're gonna ask you, what do we do with this? Where this goes? And if your mind ain't in it, you might as well say, because you're not effective.
Right. And you're basically saying that it's okay for them to do it. Whatever you're doing, you're basically okaying it for them.
Right.
I think we love Hollywood. You tell people all the time, what, nigga?
Huh?
No, I tell people all the time that, you know, like me, there's no such thing as not my job. I can do just about everything in that branch. There's no such thing as not my job. So I expect that from everybody on my team. I don't want to hear it ain't your job. I don't want to hear you don't know how to do it. I need for you to figure it out. So the next time it needs to be done, you can do it. So that is, I set the expectation for myself because I don't want to hear from nobody else. That's the same thing I tell my kids. My son can't stand asking me a question. I believe in Google. Don't ask me no question. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Google it. Then you got to.
If I was your son, the only question I would
If I was your son, the only question I would ask you is what time I got to be home tonight or tomorrow morning, Mama. I love you. I love you, Mama. What time do you want me home?
Dear sweet mother, I love.
Dear sweet mother, I love you. This mom, this Mother's Day is going to be fan-fucking-tabulous. Excuse my language, moms. But for some reason, I feel like I go to Beverly Hills High, so. Pardon the cuss words. All the kids.
I hate you.
All the kids.
And all of my friends. And for all our listeners who wonder what Tank is talking about, Mika got her son a foreign vehicle to ride around town in and little.
Hold on, Jay. Stop. I agree. I'm tired of going back to this. But if you're going to tell the story like Tamika said, tell it right. A Kia is a fucking foreign vehicle. A motherfucking Hyundai is a foreign vehicle. No. She didn't get him a foreign vehicle. She got him an S5 fucking 50. 14 years old.
It's 14 years old. It's an old car. I did not get him a brand new. His dad and I did not get him a brand new Mercedes. We purchased him a used car, and we got a good deal on it. That's it.
I can already tell our listeners right now, if I got a 600 Benz at 15 or 16, and my own, I'm not going to even get on that part about it, but it's another thing that y'all don't know. I'm never leaving home. I got the greatest mom in the world. I'm going to stay with her forever. The 21st birthday party is going to be retarded. Oh, my God, my 25th. Oh, the dirty 30s with my mom. The fabulous 40s.
Bro.
Oh, man.
Hey,
I would stay with her forever, sir.
Hey, Tank. I just text the twins, bro. I legit just text my twins who about to turn 12 next week and told them to hang up the damn phone. Do not get no damn ideas. Get that shit out of the
Wait a minute. 600 beans. Yes. Your Uncle Park.
Get out of mind right now, bro.
It's a good car. We got a good deal on it. It has a lot of safety features. Oh,
my God. Never really seen nobody who talks to us as if we don't know what S-classes are.
Hey, what I'm saying?
Listeners, I know you guys are tired of it, but she talks to us like we don't know what S-classes are. And that's what we don't understand. We just don't get it.
My God. What am I doing wrong?
The twins ready. Get them off the phone right now.
And they hang up the damn line. Do not listen to the dad tonight.
Man.
At all.
Listen, I
not getting an SL or nothing.
I come across some great deals, okay? Don't hate me.
Well,
I'm
just unrealistic,
girl.
You some bikes for me? I'm just trying to get some team speed, bro. You feel
me? I said unrealistic responsibility. My daughter said, yeah, Dad, so 16... I was thinking either a Charger or a Honda Accord. I said, okay. From who? Who's doing that? We're not even doing that collectively. Look, a village not even doing that. I'm telling you off the top. It won't even be no village in that direction.
Jay got a Benz.
I said, yeah. And he cut grass and mopped the floors, and I just fired all type of shit on his ass. I got Jay a Superman. So now if you do all that, then
big fan.
And I'm not even worried about that. I'm not worried about you accomplishing 20% of it, of the list of items I gave that Jay does. When in reality,
hey,
I just love his mom.
Hey, we. Hey, we down to the last 5-6 minutes of the show. So, pardon shots for tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait till we go live. It's going to be hilarious. If y'all can see how we acting, or I wish I could see how my co-hosts are acting, and I wish they could see me now. I can't wait to go live, man. Bring Dustin ass back on.
Yeah, I just sat here and moisturized and conditioned my hair and twisted it while on the phone. I don't think nobody want to see that. I'm walking around here looking like Miss Teasley.
I'm sitting over here Googling great prices on beans because I know my twins are going to be asking me for a beans now. So I'm over here on Google looking for what the hell I can do.
Whatever you do, just go to Tamika. Don't search Google. So for some reason, one thing about my friend, deals that motherfucker know how to find. I'm just going to go and put it out there like that. You find a deal.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. With these things that I talk about as far as credit and budgeting and things like that, I'm talking about it's a lifestyle. I do a lot with what I have because I know how to search a deal and I know how to look for things and I know how to stretch my dollar. So regardless of what everybody's driving and how we are, it was paid for in an affordable way. Ain't nobody went out here and started no debt.
Well, listeners, tell my listeners that I'm gonna try to
I really like this topic just as far as and like I said, the feedback as far as people not pushing kids out like they used to, and just making sure that we're teaching them, not just letting them live at home, that we're actually giving them the tools that they need to be out on their own.
1,000%. That's exactly where I was going with it. Is no one saying 18 is that you shouldn't push. I mean, some kids need to be pushed out at 18. Some of them are more than ready at 18. It's just making sure that they have those proper tools and making sure that they understand that we're not just bailing anybody out, that they're understanding the ramifications of how it affects their credit score or how it affects, a lot of people don't know that your potential careers. I mean, if you want to even become an accountant or some of those roles, Mika, you could tell them. I mean, they look at your finances.
Yeah,
a lot of jobs want to see they want to check your credit. They want to check your finances and see. So don't do things in the early days because I think we've all have paid or currently, if not paying right now, or have paid for our past sins. So set yourself up for success. What'd you say?
Some of us hide right now.
Right. And it's just a matter of time. So I think that's about it. That's all I got. Y'all got anything else?
No, just thank
make
you
this
all
the
for
last
listening.
Show talk about my son Carl. That's the last thing I gotta say.
We didn't bring up to be honest. Who brought up? Did we bring it up? I didn't bring it up.
No, she kind of opened that door up.
No, I didn't bring it up. I said something about my son asking questions. What? Hank brought that up.
No, not this time. I didn't.
What I said.
We brought up the fact that he loves you. That's what we brought up.
Yeah. So how did that get to the car?
And it led into a whole
thing. Hey, Joe, you say, how does it get to the car? The question is, how does it not get to the car?
Every show is 6 degrees of separation from that damn car.
Man, he got like a condo and a car. Y'all don't know the half. by now, y'all probably tuned out, so y'all don't know this part. But he also got a He also got a tanky house and a bean, so excuse me. And he ain't 18, so I don't know.
Hey, Tank, stay tuned to next week to what he might have next week.
Stay tuned to next week. And also, start listening to the NI show. I'm telling y'all. Start listening to the
very that's how we're going to have to start. Hey, Tank, that's how we're going to have to start opening up the show is asking her what her son got now.
What's going on with that? Jay's world. We need to get him on the show.
What?
My mom talked about some topic. Hi, I'm Jay. My mom talked about something about guys moving out of 18. I have a 600 bins and a tiny house. Plus out own house at my mama's house. Oh, shit.
Gang Fed Radio. Hey, y'all, we out, y'all. Good night. Good night, y'all. We'll see y'all next week.
All right.